indicated commitment to purchasing and acquiring land based on identified needs and aligned with policy framework. The petition concerns 326 family claims which are contained in it. The Commission submits a claims progress report to the Portfolio Committee quarterly, and the next quarterly report is due in February. The processing of the claims is envisaged to be spread over two financial years, being finalised by the 31st of December 2013, depending on processes and budget allocation. In terms of land requests within the Commission, within the petition, the approach of the Commission is to attempt to utilise all presently available state land to full capacity. It doesn't make sense to be asking for more land when in fact we have not made full use of the land that we have already requested. The Commission is having ongoing bilateral discussions with relevant national, provincial and local authority landholding entities in order to identify and release suitable state land where necessary. And I can say, Chairperson, that recently we have revived the bilateral meetings, established regular bilateral meetings with the City of Cape Town, which are taking place on a monthly basis and are proving very fruitful. The Commission will present to claimants proximal options for their consideration on land where there is already an in-principle agreement to release land for restitution purposes. In terms of interactions with Consulsa and ERASA, Consulsa was consulted and it was discovered that the issues that were raised by them fall outside the ambit of the Commission. In other words, claims dating prior to 1930. There have also been ongoing engagements with ERASA, the Institution for the Restoration of Aborigines in South Africa, since the date of the petition. The most recent being on the 1st of November, where we dealt with the January Klipfontein claim. They allegedly have information in their possession which they said that they would provide us, but we have not yet received that information from them. On the 19th of December last year, the members of the ERASA District 6 delegation refused to identify themselves. So we really have, it was a very large meeting. We have very little idea as to whether valid claimants were in that meeting or not. Nevertheless, we undertook to make special arrangements for them to engage in the public participation process which is underway at the moment relating to the redevelopment of District 6, and we undertook that they would be able to meet with the service providers who are dealing with the public participation process on the 28th of January. Then in terms of the status on the various land applications, in Stellenbosch there is an historical and current market valuation for the Rhenish Church, so that is the pool claim. We have requested Public Works and Home Affairs to put renovations which were being done on the building that they are using on hold because of the claim. In terms of the Lawrence family, we've requested land from the National Department of Public Works in land in Franschhoek. In Constantia, there is in principle agreement for the provincial from the provincial Department of Transport and Public Works to lease Earth 3035 Constantia, an extent of 9.5 hectares for restitution purposes. A service provider has been appointed by the Regional Land Plans Commission to conduct a feasibility study on that land. In Claremont Newlands, there has been land released by the City of Cape Town, Bowood Road, to the extent of 1.7 hectares, and approximately 60 people can be accommodated. 60 claims can be accommodated. Sorry, Mr. Smith, is it 60 people or 60 claims?
Claims,
yeah. Can be accommodated. There is a draft business plan in place. In Hart Bay, there is no state land available, and claimants have been offered land in Welcome Estate in Hederveld and in Nooitgedacht Treat. Only one claimant has accepted land in Nooitgedacht. In relation to Protea Village, land has been released by the City of Cape Town. Unfortunately, the matter is in court and has been taken to the appellate court, the appeals court, and is therefore the entire process is on hold until there is a decision at that level. Rockcrawl, claimants have been accommodated in, can be accommodated in Nooitgedacht. And in Goodwood, the National Department of Public Works has released the land near the Goodwood Prison, which will accommodate almost all of the claims. So, Chairperson, I think what is clear is that the process is moving fairly steadily ahead. Chairperson, I also did provide, apparently members have received it by email, a list of all of the properties that have been requested for restitution purposes from both the National Department of Public Works and the Provincial Department of Human Settlements. And that, those lists will give detail of where those transactions are. And the Department of Transport and Public Works, Provincial Department of Transport and Public Works.
Thank you, Chair. I want to maybe start from my earlier question, Chair, where I was asking when there's so many departments and so many custodians to land, and that seemingly having an impact on a negative impact on land restitution. In this particular scenario, who is the real custodian and who is ensuring that the land is adjudicated? But more particular, I'd like to know what is the department doing as far as ensuring that these claims could be fast-tracked. But maybe the second question, Chair, is to really gain clarity from the presentation. In all the scenarios, if you look at the district, six delegates who refuse to identify themselves, I just wonder how do we know the number of the claimants and their validity? And if you come to the Stellenbosch scenario, we also don't know how many claimants are there, as well as that of Constantia. In Claremont, they say there are 60 claims. How many claimants out of those 60 claims? Hout Bay, one claimant has accepted to move. How many claimants are there? Protea Village, land has been released by the city of Cape Town. To how many claimants? And in Drabkra, claimants can be accommodated. How many of them can be accommodated? Goodwood, almost all claimants can be accommodated. How many claimants are we talking about? I think there I'm just looking for more concrete facts. If you can please talk to that. Thanks.
A quarterly report is presented to us in with these details. I would have been interested in your question, Chief, if the Chief Director here gave us the report of the deviation. Remember that when we received the petition, we had the number of claimants in each claim. If there is a deviation from that number, then we are interested. To say, for instance, even though 160 of them claimed, only 60 of them will be settled on that piece of land. The rest will find alternative land elsewhere or whatever is going to be the solution. For instance, he was saying 8 claimants for Hout Bay, only one accept alternative land. The others, what is the solution? So those are the kinds of questions I'm expecting. But the information we have for all claims. Yes, Ms. Day.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the presentation, the first question there is I think in the first or second slide, it says something about to utilize presently all available state land. Do we have a list of what state land is available? Or I presume your office, sir. And do you know which department is responsible for that? I think it brings us back to the first presentation that we had about the department responsible and the document that's lying in the DG's office that's now going to tell us how we're going to dispose of the state land. So do you have a full list of all available state land in your office? And do you know of this all available state land, who is responsible, which department is national or provincial or city or whatever, and if it is available, could we get a list like that so that we can see the list, please? And then, Chair, I see this in Protea Village, and I presume it's in this full document, a court case that's going on. Who took, is it the claimants that took the people to court, or what, because I see it's also the city, I think, that's responsible for that. Why is there a court case going on? Is the old thing, is nothing that could be solved? And then, Chairperson, just on this full document, under the activities, there's something that says verification to be finalized. Is it verification of the claimants, or is it a valid claim, or what is the verification that needs to be finalized? Because I've seen most of the activities, the finalization date was supposed to be the 15th of December, so it's a verification of what? Is it claimants that's a true case, or what is the verification, so that we can know, and I presume we'll get the report by February.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, about six. I claim that they say they're still waiting for land release. What causes this delay of the land to be released? Who must release this land? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first one is on the Nooit Gedacht. The reason for other beneficiaries not to accept the offer of Goldney. Maybe if we can just get a clarity on that one. Then the second one, Chair, on the feasibility study. The presenter indicated that the service provider has been appointed. Maybe if we can get an indication, when was the service provider appointed? When are we planning to finish the study so that you can be able to track whether there's any progress? Otherwise, it will be feasibility study forever. Then the other one, the office is awaiting the copies of correspondence, unless in their position, I think it's a position of the beneficiaries. Was there any detail that has been given to the beneficiaries? Because we have to deal with this matters and close other matters. If we've tried, there are no submissions, then we know that you can't continue this one. We close the matter because if it's open-ended, otherwise we'll wait again forever. Is there any date that has been given to beneficiaries that on such and such a date, that is the final date? If you have got any documentation that you have to submit, you must submit it, failing which then we close the matter. Then the last one is on page 2, you indicated that the petition highlighted 3 broad areas. But when looking at the responses, I don't see anything, the progress with regards to the conduct of the officials, because that is one of the sensitive matters that has been mentioned by the petitioners. But when looking at the report, I don't know whether I didn't say it, but is there anything that has been done to make sure that the behavior, the attitude of the officials are able to deal with the public matters according to this?
There be no further question. Chief?
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the numbers related to the various areas, I'm going to refer this to the Operations Director, Mr. Smith, who has the detail.
Thank you, Chairperson. So I think the first question was just like the numbers. If we just start with the status of the land applications, the first one was Stellenbosch. So there's different claims. The reason why we only highlight the first two, because at least there was progress, because in Stellenbosch, in total, there was about 8. I think it was about 8 claims. But for the two that we highlighted, that because there's progress in Constantia, there's about 160 claimants. Claremont Newlands. So there was more. It's about 70. It's 72 people, but because sometimes people also decide that they actually don't want to be part of development anymore. So, and up to now, we've actually verified people. The indication is that 60 people indicated that they're interested to go to Claremont in Out Bay. There is about eight claimants. Protea Village, 54. In Raapkraal, there was 8, but 4 took financial compensation. There's only 4 left. In Goodwood, there's 140 claimants. So can I also maybe talk about the available state land? So the available state land, that is land that has already been identified and that's in principle agreement with the State Department. For example, in Goodwood, the National Department of Public Works agreed to release 30 hectares of land next to the Goodwood prison. So we will first utilize land like that. And the same, let me just give it another example, like Nooit Gedacht and in Welcome Estate, Heideveld, there's only currently four. There's four claimants, but that's, if in terms of the subdivision, you can accommodate about 25 claims on the land. So that is the idea. So to look for the nearest area, for example, per area, and then accommodate claimants in the same area, if possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, to continue on the issue of verification. Verification is a standard procedure within the...
Mr. Smith, what is the meaning of what you just said? Four claimants, the land is big enough for 25 claimants. What does that mean?
Chairperson, so we look at what the claimants actually lost. So it was standard plots. So if you work on the area, comes in between 400 and 500 square meters. So if you subdivide the land, and then that actually you can actually accommodate up to 25 plots out of the property. Can get, if you subdivide it, you can get something like 25 plots.
The issue of verification, this is a standard procedure within the processing of restitution claims to check that the person is who they say they are, that they exist, that they're alive and breathing, and that they have a right to the claim that is being processed. The question of why people have not accepted in Nooit Gedacht, I think sometimes I think it's to do with preference and where people see themselves within a community. And so you can't necessarily, I mean, you won't be able to force somebody to take land in a particular area. If it meets their needs and where they see themselves, then often that is why, hopefully that is why they will accept a place. But if they don't accept it, one cannot force people to accept. In terms of feasibility study, Mr. Smith, do you have detail of that?
In South Africa, the law insists that all children under the age of 16 have free education, where the, what is that thing called, means test qualifies them. And if you keep your child outside school without a good reason, the parent can be charged, and the minimum sentence is jail is six months maximum. Now, this is a right that people are claiming from the state, and the state makes land available to them, and they say, we don't want that land, we want something else. Your hands are tied. It can mean that if I don't want to have an ID, I can tell the government that I don't want to have an ID. And the state will charge me for not having an ID. And I give the people the land, they don't want it, what do I do?
Presumably, I mean, I think one tries to find suitable land.
Through you, Chair, can I link that to the options that are there? Because if they don't want to go back to the land, I think there's financial compensation on the other side. Then, and also this development. So if they're not interested to go back to the land, is there any out of the three options? Because we're talking here about the challenges with regards to the issue of the land. Here is the land people are refusing to go to that land. Then how long is it going to take for us to get another suitable land to restore them?
Digit.
I think
1994, the government made a law that created the commission. And the commission is supposed to be on the side of the claimant. Isn't it? I'm just worried about the process of empowering the claimant, which is what, which is the angle Ms. Ngonyamabila is raising. Because you remember that you have alternatives. Instead of restoring the person to the original land, then you have alternatives.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, they are. If you can't give them back the land that they lost, because Parliament has been built on that land, you can look at alternative land or financial compensation. There are cases where, because you can't give them back that which they lost, but you've got an alternative, there are cases where people still insist on getting that which they lost. I don't think that the law is clear on that particular case. To say, if you're offering in this instance, it's alternative land. It's not what they lost, and hence they are refusing to accept the alternative. I think that's the challenge, Honourable Ngonyamabila, that we have, where we can force them to accept what we have offered them.
If we can refer back to Mr. Smith in relation to the feasibility study.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the service provider started to work in January, and the time frame is 6 months. So by, come and say, July, we should have the report. Thank you.
On the question of the office awaiting correspondence, this is a difficult one, because in the meeting, all sorts of promises are made. People will say to you that they've got this and they've got that and they've got another letter and they've got everything, and you say, please can we have that so that we can see it. And it's promised, in this case I think it was promised within a week. The week came and went, and it has not appeared. Now it's difficult to understand. If it really exists, then it's difficult to understand why it's not brought forward the next day. So, without saying anything, all I can say is that we have not received the correspondence that was promised us, which would validate the claims that are being made. We will need to at some point say that, it doesn't look as though this exists. One doesn't want to, to preempt a conflict situation by sort of saying that too soon, but at some point, very soon, we have to make that kind of a judgment. In relation to the conduct of the officials, I think there was some discussion on this in the last portfolio committee meeting. What I said there was that it is critically important that the culture of the organization is molded such that people know that they are dealing with someone who is there to help them. And officials all have to be continuously reminded of this. They have to be standards that are very carefully adhered to. And we are very much in the process of ensuring that letters are answered, that people are treated with respect, and that queries are treated, are dealt with as soon as they possibly can be. I think it is an ongoing process. I'm not claiming that we have succeeded in every case, but I can claim with some justification that there has been improvement.
Thank you.
The Commission explained that in most instances the transfers were not delayed by budget constraints, but challenges related to social dynamics, disagreements on valuation process. The Commission confirmed that they have capacity. Issues of attitudes would be dealt with internally. Now, you did acknowledge that there are issues of attitude, but you're dealing with them internally. Now, so I'm assuming that that question arises out of that confirmation. So you are now saying they have been dealt with.
Chairperson, I'm saying that attitudes are things that maybe shift over time, but we are dealing with them. One thing I did not, I forgot to report on was the question of the court case. This is a particular person who seems to represent others living in the area who has objections to the land plan, and so that is why it is being delayed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two other follow-up questions. The one was partially answered. That I read in the document, there's two things that I see. The one is this thing of verification, which says to confirm the completion of verification. The question would be, if I look at the time frames from the department to say that all these plans will be finalized by 31st December 2013, pending financials and whatever, is there some type of a time frame for this verification process, at least, so that we know by a certain cut-off date we will know this is all the valid plans? Because I think this is also maybe putting pressure on the department. We are trying to find land for claims that's not even maybe valid. So I think we need to get to a process where we can find out, okay, at this date we will know this is all the people that we know is valid claimants. And then there's on the court case, I've read in some of the, I've now lost the page, but there was a page where it's pending judgment and the date was October 2011 already, but I don't know if it's finalized now because this document was printed after that date. And from other provinces, I heard there could be a problem with the number of judges available for land claims courts. Is there a problem, maybe this is for the department chair, nationally, and then specifically in the Western Cape, where there's not enough judges available to finalise these court cases, because some of these court cases have been pending for years and years, so we might have a problem with enough judges.
I'd like to comment about the court case. The court found in favour of the claimants, and the matter was then taken on appeal. So the information in the documents is correct that the court did find in favour of the claimants. I mean, it's a sad situation because now they really do have to wait until the appeals process takes place, and that is something that is way beyond our control, and it's a very sad situation.
For the record, this is the gentleman who says that he walks his dogs on that land, so those people cannot be brought back there. Yeah, are you surprised? There are citizens like that in South Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, honourable members, we seem to have come to the...
Yeah,
you were not answered. And the gentleman was not intending to answer you on the judges. He was intending to answer you on the court case. But if Mr. Mofoti wants to answer you on the judges, go ahead, Mr. Mofoti.
Thanks, Chairperson and members. Now, the issue of judges is a national issue, as you know, honourable member state. and unfortunately the land claims court is on the receiving end because of the few allocations that they got from the Department of Justice. With the passing away of the judge president of the land claims court, we hope that possibly when the next allocation comes, maybe the claims court might get quite a few. And in Western Cape, it's a sitting court. The permanent seat is in Rambeck, so they do come here frequently for some cases and so on. And it's a frustration for land claimants as well as us. The court process is abused in some instances, as members know and colleagues. There are several things that happen before the actual hearing of the court case. And sometimes it just delays. Even where there is capacity in some civil courts in South Africa, we know, even in Gauteng South Court, court cases normally take time. So it's not a unique situation to land claims, but then it's exacerbated by all these few judges who look at these cases and the number of lawyers that do take opportunities to delay finalization of certain claims because of various interests, as the chairperson has alluded.
Thanks. Chairperson, on the question of verification, I'd like to ask Mr. Smith to assist.
Thank you, Chairperson. So verification will be completed, but after completed verification, it might happen that we must update it because, for example, if the family member die, then the children must update every time it was updated. So throughout the process, so even if it's completed today, so if there's any change in the family structure, then we must also update that. Thank you.
If you read the petition, Mr. Smith, there was a line referring specifically to the fact that people are dying whilst waiting for the land. Mm. Now, you say that is a legal requirement to update the family structure, and yet that creates another delay. Mm. I'm not suggesting you should comment on that, but I'm saying the petitioners were saying people are dying whilst waiting for land. Honourable members, there's a list here that has been submitted by the Commission. It lists the properties requested for restitution purposes from the Provincial Department of Human Settlements. They are about 24 instances, where in some other instances, the one earth and others, many heaven. And this document, Commissioner, is it related to the claims? Because it says that the restitution purposes. The total number of claims, or only those that are related to the petition?
Chairperson, there are three documents. The one is the list of properties requested for restitution purposes from the Provincial Department of Human Settlements. The other one is for the National Department of Public Works. And the third one is for the Department of Transport and Public Works. We thought we would give the full picture as to what land we are talking about. So that is really for, some of the land that we are speaking about is in here, but we are wanting you to have the full picture of the departments that we are dealing with.
We understand that, but I'm asking whether to the claims, or is just covering all claims,
yes.
Not only those in the petition. Okay. Mr. Mopot, we have been dealing with the consequences of the petition and the answers that you provided at the beginning of the process. Then the claims that you are dealing with are being subsumed by the petition itself. It looks like that there's a story of the old man who was weightlifting when he was young, and one arm was weaker than the other one, so he continued without professional assistance or guidance to lift and lifted. At the end, his other arm, the stronger one, was higher than the weaker one. But then when he stopped with lifting, his body was skewed in favor of the stronger arm. The analogy relates to the fact that we continuously ask you about reports on the petition claims. We are not getting the quarterly reports on all the claims and progress on the claims, because we're getting a priority only for because those petitioners presented a petition to the speaker. We may end up having a stronger case and more information for in favor of the petitioners that are stronger, they've got lawyers and things, and not those that are not submitting petitions. And I am assuming that the provincial commissioner here is definitely going to be sick and tired of coming to Parliament every month to talk about the petition when his claims in general are being delayed because he's prioritizing the petition. Can we find a way to move together now for all the claims for the rest of the country? We're not expecting you to bring all the provincial commissioners every time you come here, but we're expecting you to give us blow by blow, province by province update on the progress on the claims. You see, because if Western Cape has these complexities because of the disposal of land, I'm wondering how many others have the similar problems. Because this is not about the political parties in charge. It's about whether we are doing our work on the ground. I'm not referring to you particularly. It may mean that the other municipalities are behaving the same way as the city of Cape Town. It may mean that there are provinces that are behaving the same way as the Western Cape government. We don't know, because we are busy lifting our arms without professional guidance. Please, DG, we need to have a conversation with the minister. The constitution clearly did not mean that everybody and anybody in the country can own land, such that when land reform has to progress, we must go cap in hand to various departments begging for land to be released. Surely the constitution never intended that this process must disadvantage the poor people. And when the 1994 Act of Restitution was made, it surely was intending to prioritize the poor people. It did not prioritize whether a department would be willing or not willing to release the land for restitution purposes. We have to deal with this matter. We cannot continue in our country with everybody and any department owning land, sometimes owning it without doing anything on it. We have to deal with this matter. Between ourselves and Public Works, we will engage the portfolio committee so that we have a joint arrangement in this matter. Even your asset register is exactly like this old man was lifting without professional guidance, because you are digging and they are not digging. So the asset register is skewed in favor of those that are working and not those that are not working. Can we deal with the issue of, you made us a promise last year, but it was not in relation to claims, that you will bring the SIU to the committee. You promised us last year, not this year, but can you prioritize in February the SIU, because it relates to the land that is being abused by your officials. In the same context, we would like to have a meeting with perhaps SALGA initially to deal with this issue of public land. I'm not sure how we will deal with the parastatals, because there are more than 500 parastatals in South Africa. And according to Advocate Ngwegwe, they own public land, not state land. So they will not be brought into the state land disposal committee it will be bilateral as far as the commissioner is concerned. Can we find a way to deal with that matter? And thirdly, we really have to deal with the cumbersome. What is this thing you say, Advocate Ngwegwe? Because the commissioner was telling us last year that even when a department is willing to dispose of a piece of land, you still have to undertake another process of EIAs and subdivision and all those processes. So there has to be a way to deal with this matter. I think there's a law, it's called Kiama, that we need to engage with so that this thing is dealt.
Chairperson, that's not a normal requirement. I think it will arise in the circumstances of that claim. It's not a normal requirement that when the state has to make land available, there's got to be an EIA or anything of that sort. It's about what the claimants want to use the land for. I think it will be that category of claims that should then be affected by that kind of process.
If that is the case, then the interesting part of it would be when we deal with public land, isn't it? Because if we're dealing with agricultural land, that matter may not arise, isn't it, Commissioner? Yeah, you don't need an EIA to undertake agricultural activity on a piece of land. Excuse me?
You don't need it on a piece of land.
The gentleman behind you wants to speak.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. There might be some cases where there's a change of use from one type of agriculture to another type of agriculture, which are listed activities which would require scoping and EIS. For example, if one is changing a piece of land, let us say, from grazing to plantations, in that case, I think you would have to have an EIA.
There was somebody last year who told us about the transfer of agricultural land to game farming, and unfortunately we discovered at that point that it's not agriculture department that determines, or it's not Department of Rural Development that makes the determination, it's another department. There has to be some way in the balance, the checks and balances that government has, there has to be some way where we streamline things. We cannot have a bureaucracy like this which disadvantages poor people. It's not right. And Parliament would completely be irrelevant if we continue to allow this kind of bureaucracy. Ma'am, which department is that?
I don't know, human settlement.
Human settlement. Can't you just a favor of telling us what processes you are following before you leave? Can you do that? You are not irrelevant here. It's just that we wanted to make sure that all the presentations that have been tabled here are discussed in full. But we didn't say invite you to be irrelevant. We do not want you to be spectators, unfortunately. You could take the mic and deal with this. We thought that the chairperson of your committee will be the one who kicks off the ball, and then you will share in the information, but because you want to leave, you can start, and then she will follow.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I am Jackie Sampson from the Western Cape Department of Human Settlements. I'm the Chief Director for Human Settlement Planning and Land and Asset Management is part of my portfolio. We are members of the State Land Disposal Committee. And we, through the process, also make land available to successful claimants. So there is a bilateral agreement. If it's not for core use, then we'll make land available. Notwithstanding, when I refer to core use, most of the land claims are for residential purposes, and it is then within our mandate to make land available for human settlement development within a particular profile or beneficiary income level. There are always conditions attached, so we do have a list, and as part of the portfolio that was tabled, the list of properties that's currently available and in process of of being made available, or has already been made available but undeveloped at the time. So our role as the Department of Human Settlement and as custodians in Western Cape of state land, we make property available to the process, to successful claimants.
Other than the category or core use, is there any other requirement that you want before you release the land for land reform purposes?
Honourable Chair, no sir. The process is managed by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and when a submission is made to our department to make land available, we do acknowledge that those processes have been duly followed, and that in terms of a bilateral agreement, we then just make the land available. So there's no further onerous conditions other than the department, you know, processing it. The department processing it for the land claimants, or transfer to the land claimants.
The only transfer that takes place is the one that goes from the bulk ownership to the individual title. So there's no other transfers in between.
That's correct, sir. With all our land parcels, we make land available from our department to the end user or the end beneficiary. So there's no other unnecessary processes or costs involved for interim transfers. There is a land availability agreement, and then it is committed for that use, but it's still in our ownership until it's transferred to the end user.
There's a part of the answer that
is not clear,
but I want to allow
Mr.
to raise their question.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask for interest. Like, I think you mentioned that it's unserviced. I'm not sure if you said unserviced or unsurveyed. Because if it's one piece of land, we mentioned a certain portion earlier that would be going to 25 beneficiaries that must be subdivided. So even the subdivision and servicing of the land will then happen by the City of Cape Town, or who's responsible for that? If you identify a piece of land, it must be subdivided and then surveyed. Can we just maybe for interest find out who's responsible for that and who'd pay the cost of that?
Chairperson, that is to the cost of the beneficiary, I would say. We do not, when we make land available, we don't do any township establishment or subdivision or rezoning. It's normally the entire land parcel in its current state that's made available. Often there are buildings on the property and there is some improvements already on the property. And whilst in our ownership, and that is something we need to discuss with the Department for Rural Development. Whilst it's in our ownership, we are still responsible for rates and taxes, securing the land or any other liabilities that we have on the property while it's in the Department of Human Settlements ownership. But we do not provide any additional resources to prepare the land, survey or rezone for the end use.
I'm assuming you are saying out of the subsidy that will then build the house on that land, then the price of the plot must be paid to Human Settlement.
No, sir. Members, in most instances, the property is made available at no cost. If a housing subsidy is to be utilized, the individual beneficiary must still qualify in terms of that policy. But in most cases, it is rural development that makes policy or subsidies available to the beneficiaries.
Honourable members, remember this lady came here by invitation. She may not be coming here again. This is an opportunity to raise the question, relevant question. No further question. Thank you very much, ma'am. I don't know how long the others will be, but if you can bear with us, we're really closing down in a few minutes. Can we go on to the other department, Public Works?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead,
Chief. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. As far as Public Works is concerned, on each request, first of all, we are also a member of the Provincial State Land Disposal Committee, and any request that we receive from the department is immediately attended to and land identified for that purpose. So we attend to all requests as far as land restitution is concerned. And the process is basically when we when the request is submitted, we investigate, and if the land is available, we immediately respond via the Provincial State Land Disposal Committee to make the land available for such purposes.
I think a similar question from you, Chief, whether there are any other procedures that must be followed in acquiring that land, whether there are any transfers in between or anything like that. Because, you see, why we're having this meeting, we want to determine what causes this delay on the transference of land for land reform purposes. Because really, really seriously, we got this law that says land must be transferred to the poor people in 1994. This is getting to 15 years now. People are still waiting for land. We're trying to check what is the delay from Public Works side now. Is there anything?
Yeah, from our side, there's not really any delays because the land, first of all, is made available free of charge. Sometimes internally, the process of getting the signature of the minister could take a little bit of time, but that has been fast-tracked now with the processes in the office, in the department. So as far as that is concerned, there's normally no delay. The from Public Works, because we make the land available free of charge as soon as the request is received from the Department of Land Affairs and Rural Development. Sorry. So there is no real delay from our side. It depends also. There could be a scenario where the land has to be subdivided, where we also have to go through an EI process, but that is normally dealt with by the beneficiaries. But otherwise, there shouldn't be any delay from our side.
Thank you, Chief.
Ma'am? Chief, I think something that could assist us as the committee, if we could maybe just for the next time or just a piece of paper, that in the last 5 years, give us some kind of idea, because I think, again, we are dealing with the petitioners. That might be the last lot of people that did not receive land. We might not know that there might be thousands of people that received land through a process that went quite fast. So if we can get some kind of idea in the last 5 years, how many requests was made to the State Land Disposal Committee, how quick did it go, so that we get a kind of a time frame, because when we started dealing with land claims, we were told it's quick, until the claimants told us it could take up to 5, 6, 7 years. So if we can just maybe get a one-page quick document on how many disposals that happened, what was the time frame, when is it lodged, how long does it take, what is the process in a short paragraph for us to understand. Maybe we are dealing with the last people that's been waiting for 15 years and other people were helped very quickly.
Yeah, you're asking the right question at the wrong time, because that's the lady's responsibility. She will give us that information. But for now, I think let's move on to the next department.
Chairperson, honourable members, my name is Barry Levenrad. I'm acting director for land reform for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in the province. I do participate in the Provincial State Land Disposal Committee, though it's chaired normally by our deputy director responsible for state land. Perhaps one thing that I could add to what has been said by my colleagues, we have a substructure of the State Land Disposal Committee, which is a screening committee with representatives from the various departments. And prior to requests for disposal or vesting being tabled at the committee, The screening committee screens all those applications, so we have an opportunity to ensure that that land, which is either going to be disposed of or vested, whether it has land reform opportunities. Now, I should say that we do focus particularly, and I'm, as I said, I'm responsible for land reform, redistribution, and tenure reform in the province. We focus particularly on rural land, on farmland, that is that where it's proposed, where disposal is proposed. When I say we look at whether that land might provide land reform opportunities, we also look at issues of tenure reform, so that if there are occupiers on that land, their rights are also respected and how can I say attended to as part of that disposal. Now, that might be a type of delay in actual disposal, but we believe it's very important to ensure that, for example, where there's farmland, and my colleagues have mentioned that there are farms in the province administered by either Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestries, or Department of Public Work, and in some cases those properties do afford land reform opportunities. There are occasions where we are forced, for example, by order of the public protector to make land, state land available to other parties rather than just for land reform purposes. But in those cases, especially when there are tenure rights on the land, to find some kind of settlement which can accommodate the needs of all of the parties. I would stop there if I may. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, everybody. Chair, as we the speaking of the TSL, the Civil Trade between us and Public Works, I just want to speak the truth because it shall set us free. As far as my tenure in the department, I cannot recall being disposing any land, unless there are other structures, maybe I don't know, that are happening provincially, that where maybe the bilaterals are happening between maybe commissioner and the respective departments. I'm talking about my time, because the work that we are doing mostly in the PSLDC is vesting of the land, which is actually the confirmation of who owns the land. For example, last year, there's no land that was tabled at the PSLDC for disposal by any department that is sitting here that I know of. And that's why I'm saying I will just focus on my tenure. As I started in 2009, I don't know what happened before. Maybe there was a disposal that was happening. What we are doing, we are assisting the department to invest their land, which is to confirm that this land belongs to me, and that's it. We hardly receive proposal for disposal of state land. And the presentation was very clear from the advocate, Ngwengwe, to say that as rural development and land reform, we do not have land in the Western Cape. So our role is to facilitate for other departments to invest and to dispose. I will stop right there. Thank you.
The purpose is to find a way to get land to the people. That is our purpose. And in the painless process as possible and the cheapest possible way. And you know, some of you may not have dealt with the petitioners. We did. When you see people who are really pushed by poverty behind from home, coming to the committee here and saying, you are, as parliament, our last resort. They are appealing to you, help us to get land. The stories we're getting today are worrisome. DG, we have promised the petitioners progress reports. Remember, the commissioner has an obligation to communicate with the petitioners. But we also promised them progress report. We hear that they've gone to the Human Rights Commission to say Parliament has not been able to assist them. It may be because they are not aware of the processes we are following. And therefore the commissioner will have to communicate with them, but also we will have to call them back and talk to them about this thing. Now we can't go to them and say the provincial state land disposal committee is not doing anything in terms of disposing of land. It's the goodwill between the commissioner and the various departments. We can't operate on the basis of goodwill. We operate on the basis of law. Then we are planning there. Uba nina nezi facilitators nje anayo nomhlaba. Mr. Maphoto, sawudibana nawe thina ngobani ngomatshi okanye ngofebruwari xa uza neyakho iripoti usixelela ngezo zonke ii-provinces. Sifuna ii-solutions, chief. Please, Mr. Mkwekwe's document would have been signed by then as well. So the disposal committees in the provinces would have undertaken a process to release land. Is there a department here that has not given us any idea of the process they are following and any delays that may cause land reform pay? Nothing. So which department Pumla has not come that we invited? The city council. The city council.
Transport and public
work. The gentleman is not representing transport and public work. He was representing national. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much. So we will invite, maybe we should find a way, TG, Kaulan and La process with Veninga. Because the summary of this meeting now is consisting of 5 issues. One, the lady will give us the truth before 2009. Now, Antiazi, Kalini, provincial state land disposal committee in the country. Perhaps in the Western Cape it never existed, but I'm assuming that there would be a steering committee or screening committee everywhere in the country which is disposing of land, even for other purposes, but you know, we're interested in land reform. So we'll give that assignment to the lady. By the way, I didn't get your name. Ma'am? Magoda. Magoda. For record, that's the purpose. Miss Magoda will give us the report, both within her tenure from 2009 up to now and before, so that we have an understanding. Tinadiji, we are worried about even land. We tell Advocate Mkwekwe, 80. Before 1994, land belonged to various, depending on the use. And beyond, they've just been confirmed by her. They just vest in the various departments. Even though there is a department that is meant to own and administer land on behalf of the nation, but they continue to vest land in various, vesting in health, vesting in public works, vesting in agriculture and so on. We have to deal with that. It's a very problematic thing.
but when I heard the Jews, I was not disappointed. I was Mr. Mpoto, you was Kangalela, the process, the progress. We learned to form a good restitution in overall in the country. We need to deal with this issue of delay, DG. And I don't want this committee to be seen to be targeting Western Cape. We want to deal with this thing at a national level. And for those that were not part of this process all the time, it was only necessitated by the petition map. We never targeted the Western Cape at all. The petition was only presented by the Western Cape claimants, facilitated by Ms. Tania. So we want to broaden this thing so that we do not have skewed process, one arm stronger than the other. We don't want that. Lastly, we want to look at the issue of the law. DG will definitely have to pursue this thing. There must be something wrong with the law that allows everybody to own land, even if they don't use it. They just own it when there is a department empowered to do that. I'm assuming that the president is not aware of this, because if he was aware and the country is saying to your minister is a failing minister, because that's the perception that has been now confirmed by the newspapers, that your minister is going nowhere slowly when it comes to land reform. We have to deal with this thing. And from what you're telling us, it is caused by the law. Let's fix the law. Because you're creating unnecessary extra meetings for the commissioner to go and negotiate for the release of land that belongs to the state and departments. I must say this thing. Some departments, they say we will use it in some time in future. Why can't it be in the department that holds the land until that use is necessary? Why? I know that there's a department that is buying farms in near San Francis Bay all the time, buying farms. Yeah, there's a place called Oyster Bay near Jeffreys Bay, towards the west of St. Francis. There's a department that's busy buying land there, converting state land into public land. Because you said, Mr. Mkwekwe, the land that is owned by the state is state land, the land that is owned by parastatals and municipalities is public land. So there is a department that is purchasing a parastatal, purchasing state land and private land and making it public land and holding and hoarding. It's not a rumor, I can confirm it. If you want to know before you leave, I'll tell you the name. You can go and check there. What we want to refuse to be toy telephones in this committee. We do not want to be toy telephones. Talking to people who are not there is like 0800. There's no name. You're phoning yourself. We are a committee of parliament, for God's sake. We are supposed to be responsible to the nation. And the nation is waiting on us to make sure they get the land. And we can't get them the land because it's owned by that one and that one and that one, and some of them, they're just sitting on this land. We can't afford it. And the Auditor General is saying to your department, complete the asset register. You can't complete the asset register because the land is being vested there, is being hoarded there, is being owned there, and so on. It has to be finalized at some point. The next meeting is going to be held in February, but in that meeting we're only going to be receiving the skewed report from petition again. The report that we want is that one from Mr. Mpoto. Is there any objection for this meeting to be adjourned? We have two sets of minutes here, and I know that from the secretary, members were given these minutes last year. Some of them are in your pigeonholes.
and because you did not bring them, I don't want to put them to you. But these are the 2 cents. The other one is, the first one is the 8th of November, and the second one is the 16th of November. Do you have them in front of you, members?
Mm-hmm.
All of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you have them, and because you have them all this time, can I suggest that we deal with them quickly? And I know that the honorable members from the various departments have nothing to do with our minutes. So I take them as read. Agreed? Any amendments or corrections? Ms. Sava, nothing? Yes, ma'am. I put both of them.
In front of my 9th of November 2011, I move to adopt.
You have 9 and 11?
2011. 9 November
2011. Oh,
okay. I move to adopt.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I put both of them. You do not want to adopt the other one?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And again, I have 16 November 2011. Time it was 10 o'clock. I move to adopt again.
Thank you very much. Any second? Stay in second. Thank you very much. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience and your